God is good and His mercy endures forever. What a blessing it is to be here this morning to worship our Father once again in spirit and truth. We serve an awesome God, don't we? A God who is good to us, not just some of the time, but all the time. God is good. And what a blessing it is to know that we can come together, fellowship with one another, and give our Father in heaven praise this morning. To our visitors, we're happy that you're here. May God bless you. We look forward to getting to know you more after our services have concluded this morning. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we just got done singing Sing and Be Happy. And I think for many of you who know me, I'm for the most part a happy guy. At least hopefully you think I'm a happy person. For the most part, I'm in a pretty good mood most of the time. But I will tell you that there's one thing that can put me in a depressed state fast. It's watching the news. Yeah, do you feel the same way? You turn the news on and everything is bad. There's accidents, there's horrific things that are being done here in Beaumont or in Texas or America, all across the world, and everything just seems tragic, horrible, terrible. Sometimes when I watch the news, I feel like giving up. Feels like the devil, he's winning and we are losing. Now, from time to time, there may be something positive, a glimmer of hope, something good that we read about or hear about in the news, but for the most part, it's usually something bad. Innocent people losing their lives because people make sinful decisions and choices. And for a lot of people, they say, you know what, there's no point in even watching the news. What's the point? Because there's nothing ever good in it. Well, despite the tragic stories that are reported, I will tell you that there are some lessons that we can learn from the news. You see, the news reminds us of the problem that everyone in here has, the problem that everyone in the world has. It's the problem of sin. The funny thing about it, though, we really don't hear this idea of sin ever mentioned in the news, do we? But we certainly see it in action. Ladies and gentlemen, we find the words of Paul. We see the words of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1 in action today. Paul, as he was writing to the young Christian in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, he said, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Perilous times, difficult times, trying times, hard times. Perilous times will come. He said, in the last days, these times are going to come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, unthankful, unholy, unloving. We see people like that in the news every single day. Unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Paul was warning Timothy to avoid such people back in the first century. And he's warning us the same thing. He was warning Timothy that these things would happen then. Ladies and gentlemen, we still see today that there are people like this in the world. I will tell you, my friends, that when we look at the news, it is clear we are living in perilous times. Yet the news teaches us some valuable lessons regarding sin. And what I want to do for a few minutes that we have this morning, I want to look at some things in the news. Because the news will teach us some valuable things that we need to learn regarding sin. And the lessons that we're going to learn this morning should motivate us to live for God even more. It should motivate us to prepare ourselves for the judgment day. It should motivate us to encourage our friends and family members to become Christians and to follow Jesus Christ. You see, when we turn on the news, we see something immediate. We see that, my friends, we are living in a sin-filled world. We all know the story that's on the minds of everyone, right? The terrible shooting that took place last week or a week and a half ago in Aurora, Colorado. It's proof that we're living in a sin-filled world. A 24-year-old man went into the theater wearing a riot helmet, a tear gas mask, and a bulletproof vest, and then proceeded to kill 12 people and wound 58 others. The night that was supposed to be fun and exciting with the new premiere of Batman turned into a nightmare for hundreds of people. What this young man did seemed to be ripped from a movie, ripped from some gruesome video game. And he just did it in real life. The lives of the people in that theater is never going to be the same. They're going to remember that image of that man walking through that back door. They're going to remember the tear gas and the sound of bullets. They're going to remember people screaming and running out of that theater. The family members of those individuals, their lives are never going to be the same. And ladies and gentlemen, because of the sinful choice of one man, our lives are never going to be the same. Every time we go to a movie, from now on, whether it's a matinee, 11 o'clock in the morning, or a midnight showing, what are we going to think about? We're going to think about this event. We're going to be suspicious if someone walks in kind of late or if someone seems to be doing something a little weird. We are living in perilous times, as Paul said. And listen, the man who did this, I don't even want to say his name to give him any credit at all. The man who did this fits into the category of 2 Timothy 3. Unholy, unloving, brutal. He's a vicious and wicked person. What he did was sinful. And that's how it should be described. Yeah, we don't really see that much being described, seeing his actions being described like that in the news. Isn't it sad that we can't even go to the movies anymore without being fearful? Simple entertainment with family or with friends. And now we can't even do that without being afraid. Let me ask you something. Should we be surprised that this happened? I know that what he did, make sure you understand what I'm saying. I know what he did was vicious and terrible. And going into a movie theater, what he did was horrific. But should we be surprised that there was a person out there back in April methodically thinking about what he was going to do to inflict harm on innocent lives a couple of months later? I don't know if we should be surprised, because when we look in the Bible, from the beginning, we see that the thoughts and the minds of men have been on wicked things. We go back to the very beginning with Cain and Abel. Cain killed his own flesh and blood, killed his own brother. In Genesis chapter 6, look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5, we see that the mind of men from the beginning have been on wicked thoughts. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." From the beginning, the world has been filled with sin, with the decisions that men have made. In our Bible reading in Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, we're going to be reminded next week that there was no king in the days of Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And when you read the reading this week, starting tomorrow, you're going to read some horrific actions, some horrific things that people did at the end of that book. And even though we're in 2012, even though we have so many advances in technology and medicine, and we're more smart than we were in the past, we're still reminded that we live in a sin-filled world. Man's thoughts are still filled with wickedness. And because we live in a sin-filled world, there's a couple things that we need to know. I hate to say this, but it's true. Because of this fact, bad things are going to happen sometimes. Bad things are going to happen to good people. Bad things are going to happen to innocent people. We live in a world where there is choice. And unfortunately, sometimes people will utilize choice and make choices that will harm and inflict the lives of others. This has been going on since the beginning, guys, with Cain and Abel. Cain decided to make a choice, and unfortunately, Abel suffered because of his choice. Even in the days of Jesus, we find innocent people who are suffering. Look over in Luke chapter 13, an interesting account in Luke chapter 13 and verse number 1. Luke chapter 13, there were a group of people that came and spoke to Jesus. In Luke 13 and verse number 1, the Bible says there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things?" He said, "I tell you, no." Some people had gone to Jesus and they reported this news about some Galileans who were minding their own business. That's what it seems like. They were making sacrifices. And then comes along Pilate and he decides to kill them. And their blood is mingled with the blood that they were sacrificing. And Jesus said, look, they weren't killed because they were worse sinners than others. What we find, even in the days of Jesus, is that bad things happen to innocent people. And that's something that we need to hold on to and realize, because we live in a world where there is choice. And yet so many people sometimes, they blame God and they get upset and they say, "Well, God, why can't you stop all of this?" Well, it's not a matter of the power of God. It's not that God doesn't see what's going on, but we need to remember that God has made us with choice. We have choice to decide to do good or decide to do bad. And if God were to intervene every single time, we'd cease to be man. We live in a world of chaos. While these events are terrible, the shooting at the movie theater is tragic. The events that happened in Luke chapter 13 is tragic. We live in this sin-filled world, but Jesus still wants us to know something else. Despite all the events that are around us and that are taking place in this world, Jesus wants us to examine ourselves. Jesus wants us to examine our choices. He wants us to examine our motives. Look back in Luke 13. These people came to Jesus, and maybe they wanted an answer about this problem of suffering. Innocent lives being taken by a wicked man by the name of Pilate. Jesus, help us, instruct us, tell us what's going on. How could something like this happen? Jesus didn't do that. Verse 2, he said, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things?" He said, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Isn't that amazing? He didn't go into all the details about why this happened. He turned it around and said, "What about you?" He said, "Unless you repent, you will likewise perish." And that's something that we need to hold on to. We live in a sin-filled world, and yet Jesus is doing the unthinkable here. He's telling us to examine ourselves, and that we need to see what choices are we making, and if we are making wrong choices, sinful choices, He wants us to repent. We may not do some things that are horrific and things that people do that we see in the news, but ladies and gentlemen, we can make some decisions in life that will cause pain and harm, not only on ourselves, but on a lot of people around us. You think about the Christian who decides to leave Jesus, who decides to leave the church. Their sinful choice is going to inflict pain and harm on their family members. It's going to inflict the church in a negative way. It's going to bring or cause glory to be lost from God because of their choice. You see, our sinful choices can cause pain and harm to others too. You think about the spouse who cheats. That person is going to inflict harm and pain to their children and to their mate and bring pain to a local congregation. The husband who's worse than an infidel because he decides not to take care of his family. You know what's going to happen? Because of his sinful choices, he's going to inflict pain and harm to his family for years to come. We live in a sin-filled world. We learn that by watching the news, but it doesn't mean that we have to make sinful choices. It doesn't mean that we have to do what everyone else is doing. You see, God expects us to be wiser than that. And God expects us to make sure that we make the right choices in life. And if we're not, then Jesus tells us that we must repent. We live in a sin-filled world. That's what we learn from the news. Terrible things are going on in the news, but from time to time, there are some positives that we find. And there's a lesson that we can learn from the news, and this takes us to our second point, a valuable lesson I think we need to hold on to, and that is that we can take a stand against sin. Even though we live in a sin-filled world, we can take a stand. We can stand out. We can tell the truth and be bold and courageous. And maybe you've heard some of the events that are going on with Chick-fil-A. Anybody eat at Chick-fil-A? Great chicken sandwich, especially the ones with pepper jack cheese. And their fries are pretty good too. But Dan Cathy, the president and COO of the Chick-fil-A company, he's been in the news a lot. And I appreciate this man, Dan Cathy. Chick-fil-A is big business. Last year, they made about $4 billion. They have over 1,400 restaurants. And Dan Cathy was interviewed by the Baptist Press, and they had some questions regarding his stance on family and what he believes. Dan Cathy and his entire family, they're very religious. They study the Bible. They go to church. Since the early 40s, they've been closed on Sundays to allow people to go to worship if they so choose. You know, that was something that they weren't doing. Most companies and most restaurants in the 40s and 50s, they were closed on Sundays because so many people would go to services. Now, most restaurants are open on Sundays, but nonetheless, Chick-fil-A is still growing and increasing in revenue, even though they're only open 6 days a week compared to other companies that are open every single day. But Dan Cathy spoke out against some of his beliefs regarding family. And I want to read some of the things that he said. He said, quote, he said, "We're very much supportive of the family, the biblical definition of the family unit. We're a family-owned business, a family-led business, and we're married to our first wives. We give God thanks for that." Sounds good to me, doesn't it? And yet this man is being attacked. The company is being attacked. People are saying that the words that he said are so hateful and mean because he's sticking with what the Bible says. And the ones who are upset with him are the ones who are for same-sex marriage because what he said goes against with those who believe regarding same-sex marriage and homosexuality. This man is sticking with the book. And all he's doing is simply commenting on what he believes. And it's fascinating, the attacks, the vicious attacks, because this man is simply standing up and saying, look, I believe what God said about the family. One man, one husband for life. That's what marriage is. That's what marriage is. That's how the Bible defines it. The mayor of Boston. Did you hear about that? Hear what the mayor of Boston said when he heard these comments from Dan Cathy? The mayor of Boston has spoken out and said, listen, after hearing what he said, I'm not going to allow Chick-fil-A to build a restaurant in Boston. What in the world is going on? Because this man simply stood out and said what the Bible teaches about husband and wife and what marriage is. Did you hear about Rahm Emanuel in Chicago? Hear what the mayor of Chicago said? I quote, after hearing what he said, what Dan Cathy said, Rahm Emanuel of Chicago said, quote, Chick-fil-A has no place in the city of Chicago. He said their values are not the values of Chicago. You know what he's saying? Can you read between the lines? Everyone in Chicago is for same-sex marriage. Really? Talk about an overstatement. 42% are for same-sex marriage, according to recent polls in Chicago. 42% are against it, which means that Chick-fil-A does stand for some values that people have in Chicago. But you see what people are doing, don't you? You say one thing about the Bible. You say something that God has said regarding marriage or homosexuality, you're going to get attacked. But ladies and gentlemen, one of the lessons that we can learn is that we can stand against sin. People are upset with this guy because he's saying that the practice of homosexuality is against what God has said in His Word. The funny thing about it, though, he never even mentioned homosexuality. The company has never been in trouble legally about discrimination about hiring gays or homosexuals. Mr. Cathy, after hearing these remarks from these mayors, which, by the way, the mayor in Boston kind of backtracked some of the things that he said because he knows he's going to get into a lot of legal trouble, okay? But Mr. Cathy went on to say, we intend to stay the course. We know that it might not be popular with everyone, but thank the Lord we live in a country where we can share our values and operate on biblical principles. I applaud this man for his conviction and his belief in the Word of God. And that just because some people are going to harass him and try to intimidate him to go with the flow with assumingly what everyone else believes, which is not even true, I applaud this man for standing his ground and taking a stand against sin. And ladies and gentlemen, from the news, we can learn that we too can take a stand against sin. What that means for us, we're going to have to be bold and courageous. More than ever, because the Bible is under attack. Christians are under attack. And we're going to be persecuted like we've never seen before. Things are intensifying with this whole issue of same-sex marriage and homosexuality. And therefore, we are going to have to be courageous. And we have every reason to be courageous because we have the truth. We have the one thing that can change our society. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So many people complain about the direction of this country. Many Christians are complaining about the direction of this country. But you know what many Christians are not doing? They're not doing anything to change it. And ladies and gentlemen, we can change the country. And you know how we do it? We do it through the gospel. We're part of a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We have power through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know that we can change the environment and the state and the country that we live in when we take the time to share Jesus Christ with others. How do I know that? Because I saw what happened in the first century in the Bible. Paul went to a city by the name of Corinth. In that city, there are people who are engaging in many acts that were wicked in the eyes of God. Many were drunkards and idolaters and homosexuals and sodomites and fornicators and adulterers. But Paul went in that city, and in 18 months, the Bible says that many hearing believed and were baptized. They were changed. Why? Because Paul taught them about a man by the name of Jesus, a man who was born of the Virgin Mary, a man who grew in stature and wisdom and favor with God and man, a man who committed no sin in his life, a man that came here on earth and was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, a man that died on the old rugged cross, a man that had the power to cast out demons, to walk on water, to raise the dead back to life. Taught them about Jesus. The Bible says that they were changed. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how we can change our environment. That's how we can change our society. If we want to see change in this country, it's not going to be through a man or a woman or any political party. It's going to be through the gospel. Us taking Jesus, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with men and women, one soul at a time. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9, Paul said, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed." See, they have been baptized into Christ. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Change took place because a man was courageous enough. A couple like Priscilla and Aquila, they were courageous enough to share Jesus with others. You see, we have the power to change our environment, but we're going to have to be bold. And one of the ways that we can change our environment is by teaching others the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another way that we can change our environment is for praying for those who are in authority. That's what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, notice what Paul said. He said, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life." That's how we can have change, by praying for those who are in leadership positions. My friends, if we want to see the country go in a different direction, we need to talk to our children. Talk to them about human sexuality. Make sure they know the truth about what is normal according to the standards of God. And if we want things to be different in our society, we got to make sure that we don't allow the devil to influence us to do wicked things and to go against the will of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse number 11 that we cannot be deceived or ignorant about the devices of the devil. You see, individuals like Dan Cathy, they remind us that indeed we can take a stand against sin. We don't have to be ashamed of what we believe in, but the question is, are we going to do it? You see, it's one thing to talk and to complain, but we have the power through the gospel to help others to come to Jesus Christ. Are we going to do it? That's a lesson that we learn from the news. And I'll tell you, this is a bright spot in the news. We can be bold and courageous. But like I said at the beginning of the lesson, most of the news is bad stuff. Most of the news is depressing. And my third point is going to be very depressing, okay? Because what we find in the news is that we can't avoid the lasting consequence of sin. You know what that is? Death. The news reminds us that one day all of us are going to die. Seen a lot of celebrities in the news, haven't we? You know who Stephen Covey is? Wrote the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Great book. Died not too long ago, 79 years old. Complications from a biking accident. Staying in shape. But eventually he died. Andy Griffith. We know who he is, right? Andy Griffith Show, Matlock. Died recently at the age of 86. Sherman Hemsley. Died recently at the age of 74. 227. The Jefferson. Or 227. And I'm trying to remember the other show that he was on. Yeah, the Jeffersons, that's correct. Yeah, moving on up. That was the show, that's right. He was a good person. But he died too. The news reminds us that we can't avoid the lasting consequence of sin. That one day all of us are going to die. Death entered into the world because of sin. And since then, people will continue to die until the return of Jesus. This lesson is so easy for us to understand, but it's really hard for us to consider. Death is always hard to think about. But ladies and gentlemen, one day you will die. One day you will be that person in the casket. One day it will be your family and friends who will be the ones speaking about you at the funeral. One day it will be your family or friends that will be calling the preacher to ask him to do the service for you. One day it will be your family that will receive the flowers and the cards and the encouragement from the brethren. We can't avoid death. Solomon reminded us in Ecclesiastes 2 that death happens to those who are wise and to those who are fools. Death does not discriminate, and therefore, my friends, we must be ready to die. We have no idea when our time is over, which means that we have no time to waste. We have no time to go back to the formal ways that we used to be or the formal things that we used to do. The Bible reminds us that we need to spend the rest of our time wisely. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, notice what Peter was saying to the saints in the first century who were going through a lot of difficult times. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, Peter said, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, and that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God." We spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lewdness and lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, I think it's strange that you no longer run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. The point that Peter was trying to make was this. We spent enough time before we came to Christ doing the things of the world. Now we need to be focused on doing the things of God, being mindful of the spiritual kingdom that we are in. And the reason why he was reminding them was simple. Because one day Jesus will return. And the next book that he wrote, or letter that he sent in 2 Peter 3, in verse number 8, he said, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come." It may be a while. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus ascended back into heaven. But Peter makes it clear, do not be deceived. Jesus one day will return. He is going to return. We know that he will. He is risen from the grave. And ladies and gentlemen, for those who are not prepared for his return, that is going to be a bad day for them. That is going to be some terrible news that they will have to consider and contemplate for eternity, because there is something worse than death. Death is bad. Death is terrible. It hurts to lose a loved one. But there's something worse than death. You know what it is? To be eternally separated from God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse number 7, Paul said, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those," listen to what he says, "who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints." Two types of people that Paul talks about. Those who don't know God, those who have ignored God their entire lives, they're going to be separated for eternity. But then he adds another group. Those who don't obey the gospel, they will be with that group too. That's worse than death. Being eternally separated from the presence of God. It's too hard for us to fathom. But sadly, so many people are going to fall into that category. What a shame it will be. It's one thing for those who don't know God, for those who willingly decide not to believe in him and reject him. But for those of us who know God and to turn our backs on Jesus, how much worse will that be? What a shame that's going to be for so many Christians who decide to leave Jesus when Jesus returns, to find themselves separated from his presence for eternity. We can avoid this eternal separation when we decide to live for God. These are some lessons from the news. We can't avoid death. but we can't avoid being eternally separated from God. The news doesn't say too much about sin, doesn't say too much about heaven, doesn't say too much about hell, but the Bible does. And therefore, we need to listen to the book. Most want to go to heaven, but few will make it. That's what the book says. No one wants to go to hell, but many will be there. The choice is up to us. What choice are you going to make? Do you want to go to heaven? Paul said if you want to go to heaven, you must obey the gospel, because those who don't obey the gospel will be eternally separated. My friend, you can obey the gospel today by doing what Jesus said to do, to believe in Him, that He is the Son of God, that He died for you and for me, that He rose the third day, never to die again. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's how we obey the gospel. The choice is up to us. We need to choose wisely, though. Maybe there's someone here today, you're not a Christian. Make the right choice. Don't be a part of the world any longer. Don't do what everyone else in the world does. Live for Jesus. Make your life right. And for those of us who are Christians, let's remember that we still have to live the right way too. Because we can be separated from God if we don't live faithfully unto death. Maybe there's someone who needs to respond today. If that person is you, or if that is you, I invite you to come forward right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.